underestimate your opponent. Expect the unexpected.
Well, hello, Mr. Fancy Pants. I got news for you, pal. You ain't leading but two things right now. Jack and shit. Jack left town.
I can't use Kung Fu for about 3 months.
Because if this one doesn't scare you, you're already dead. From the gates of hell, they have finally come.
Chartreuse! The only liquor so good they seem to color after.
I'm telling you straight. It's my way or the highway. So anybody wants to walk, do it now.
You kids shouldn't play so rough. Somebody's gonna start crying.
We've got entirely too many troublemakers here.
They use the satanic power of their bodies to turn men and women into their blood slaves.
I will never forgive your ass for this shit. This is some fucked up Republican shit.
Bruce Lee is gone. From the gates of hell, they have finally come.
Never underestimate your opponent. Expect the unexpected.
Oh, my poor darling. Can you forgive me for having brought you to this terrible place?
Of course, Mama.
Are you gonna bark all day, little doggy? Or are you gonna bite?
All right, Dana Land, we, see, what the hell did we watch last night? Oh, yeah.
Oh, we watched that movie Darren Burroughs on this stuff.
Oh, yeah, Darren Burroughs. It's Ruggero Deodato's new movie from 2016 called Ballad of Blood or Ballad in Blood, I think it was. And, wow. For some reason, I thought this was...
This movie was, like, super crazy, and I couldn't follow it.
Well, you didn't pay attention, Dainey.
I did.
Okay, here's the thing.
Okay, you explain it.
Alright. After some weird-ass party where there's a lot of gore...
I guess it was some kind of Halloween party.
I don't know.
Slash orgy or whatever.
But the Halloween thing went on for a day or more afterwards. But... anyway, we're in this house. This black dude's taking a piss.
And the camera goes right between his legs and you watch the pee stream.
And I guess he throws on a beer and he for some stupid ass reason, then steps on glass and then he starts screaming for this other dude in the house. He goes to his room and this girl's riding him and like he's having like the best sex ever and... The dude getting screwed throws up on her tits and makes her sit. I mean, this is awful. And at some point, the two guys are in the living room area, which this whole house is just trashed. And they look up and a dead girl's on the roof.
The roommate, I guess, of the girl that was having sex with the guy. And
well, they went to school together. I guess college, but it was some kind of glass... sunroof, or whatever you want to call it, sky window.
She was like all smushed up against it.
Well, anyway, it's at one point the glass breaks and she comes down.
So they spend the whole entire movie trying to figure out what happened.
Yes, and then not very well. Well, this girl that died is a redhead, and then throughout these flashbacks, and she records stuff on a selfie stick, and
with her phone.
Well, that's okay. And then she's just walking around just talking to it like she's filming it for somebody or parents or something. But
yeah,
there's
but
a lot of shit going on and I wouldn't show my parents.
Yeah, there's like sex going on and drunkenness and drugs. And
but at some point I was like this girl should die because that's obnoxious to walk around with a selfie stick and record.
They were all obnoxious.
Yeah, well, I'm just getting into the redhead.
Okay.
Okay, the other three are... for some reason, this movie reminded me a little bit of his other movie from the 90s called The Washing Machine, which
I never did
see. I think that was... it's not much better, but a little bit better, because at least those characters are not outlandishly obnoxious.
I just wasn't enthused about watching a movie called The Washing Machine.
Yeah, I know, it's kind of... I'm waiting for the sequel, The Dryer.
You know, I already watched The Mangler, but it's about an industrial laundry folding machine. But
yeah, well, that's a double feature.
The story was a lot better than...
Well, Mangler 3 was pretty hardcore, but...
I didn't even get that far.
It's a trilogy, Dana. You got to watch it, I think. But anyway, Dana's saying that now they're trying to get rid of the body, and then they're trying to figure out. So they start watching these recordings. Whoa. And then at some point they're watching them goof around and stuff, and they just, all three of them are sitting together laughing like, hey,
like
this is
not a dead body.
Not a care in the world why there's a dead body. And they know damn well that they're going to get blamed for it.
And there's some other weird characters that float.
There's like a bar they go to with a, I guess he's gay or I don't know.
The guy with the angel wings.
Angel, black angel wings. And then he's, the guy who runs the bar is like kind of a midget. He's very super short.
And I think he's their landlord.
Yes.
He's wanting money.
And they're like, the beer is like €7, which sounds like a lot to me, but you know, whatever.
And I don't know what euros is.
Well, it's probably crashed by now, but I don't know. But anyway, it's just very, very strange. But I will give it a few things about, Simonetti did the soundtrack, which...
That was probably the number one positive of this movie.
I will say that at certain parts of it, the soundtrack was decent. Other parts, it was just there. It didn't mean anything.
And there was music from...
House by the Park.
House on the Edge of the Park.
Yeah, so
listen for that.
But I mean, I have no clue. I mean, Dana looked it up and it was released in Austria for some reason.
It's an Italian movie, but it was released in Austria first.
But I mean, I have no clue why these people are so obnoxious. I mean, it's just, you'd have.
There's nobody.
And then the redhead, she's not. She's a little bit sympathetic, but that selfie stick is very annoying.
Yeah, but the longer it went on, yes, the more footage they watch of her, I won't give it all away, she becomes steadily more unsympathetic.
I don't know.
I thought she did.
But, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, she did. I don't think she did, but it was just annoying.
There was lesbian things going on.
Well, she was getting forced into that, but I'm not going to go into it. But, I mean, for, you know, whatever, but... and he wrote this. Deodato wrote it, and then he wrote. I think he helped write the screenplay. He does a cameo in it.
In a wheelchair. Me and Steve were trying to figure out if he's really confined to a wheelchair or not.
I don't think so. I mean, but who knows?
But these students at this college or whatever kidnapped him.
Well, they said they took him and got him. You know, ate a big meal and drunk.
We're thinking that was maybe the guy pushing the wheelchair was his son.
I don't know, but Jesus. Yeah, definitely crazy. There's no sympathetic characters, which... If this movie was made in the early 90s or late 80s or whatever, it might have came off a little bit better, but now you have these people just snorting drugs
But really,
I don't know. It's just horrible. It's just...
he made House on the Edge of the Park, right?
Yeah, I mean, but
if you look at that movie, really, Giovanni's character is the only sympathetic character in that. And possibly that blonde chick that looks like a little bitty girl.
Well, there was a good... That had a good twist to it. So, I mean, at the end. But, I mean, still... But even that... even with David Hess, there was entertaining. Even though he was a, you know... Creepy and
rapist.
He was rapey. But there was still something there that was entertaining or... You know, but yeah.
It was exploitation, but it was sleazy.
Yeah, sleazy. But this movie, it's not, it's got nudity and drug use, which who cares about that? But I mean, it's just, it's sleazy, but it's just, there's nothing else there to me.
There was nothing to like.
No.
No, really. Nobody, no entertainment value.
Oh, somebody might like it, but I didn't. But anyway, watched.
Did we know if Darren Burroughs liked it?
No, I don't think so. He didn't really say.
Well, I'm with you, Darren Burroughs, because if you didn't like it, because not Deodato's best work.
I will say that it's not a total embarrassment like Giallo or Dracula 3D, so at least that's something. I mean, there was some style to the movie. It didn't look, and it did have some gore. So, I mean, certain parts of it, I mean, it wasn't like a total... I think the story was the big problem, and that's a big problem in any movie. The production value of the movie, I didn't see a problem with at all. But
They can't get, in American movies or the movies overseas, they can't get any decent actors anymore. They're all these obnoxious idiots.
But anyway... we watched Dead Time Stories. Dana got it on Blu-ray.
And Steve said he hated it.
I didn't hate it, but I just didn't think it was worth anything. Why did you do? But okay.
Because I don't want to miss the movie.
I mean, the stories are not... The first story was probably the best one.
The one with Scott Valentine and Peter and the witches.
The effects were really good. I mean, to me.
Created by Ed French, but there was another guy that was like the head guy. And I'm
Peter French.
No.
Oh, but anyway, the stories, they're a little, his uncle's trying to get him to go to sleep, and he keeps on getting called back to tell stories, and his stories are a little bit raunchy and violent for a kid, but.
And the little boy, the wraparound story with the uncle and the and his nephew was sort of like, it was the boy that cried wolf, basically.
And music was done by Taj.
Taj.
Which I think, the music was only that stupid song at the beginning.
Well,
which actually, wanted to be a fucking creep show.
The with lyrics was done by the director.
Listen, it wanted to be creep show, but it turned out to be a crap show. How about that?
Well, I don't think it was that bad.
No, it wasn't. It's just not good. I don't
think it was meant to be taken that seriously, huh?
Well, it wasn't funny either, so. If it was a trauma movie, it would have been.
You didn't think the Goldilocks and the Three Bears was funny?
No. No, I didn't.
Okay, well.
But I want to go to the Pizza Punch or whatever that was. Pizza Point. Pizza Lounge.
I don't know. It was pizza something, but it was a real place.
But anyway.
Oh, and the great Matt Mittler from The Mutilator was in the middle story, Little Red Running Hood.
Dana had to go in the other room. I think she was touching herself.
No. About
Matt Mittler.
No, I just said I'd forgotten Mittler. That he was in there. And I was like, that's Matt Mittler from
Mutilator. You wanted Matt to mitt you. No, mitt her.
Why do you always say stuff like that?
Because it sounded like it. You went all up, like your juices went to boiling point.
Yeah.
All right, so I watched, freaking hell, what did I watch? Oh, I watched a movie from 1980 called Windows with Taya Shire from Rocky. And it had Elizabeth Ashley, who was a big deal, or big... presence on 70s and 80s movies and television, and
it's supposed to 70s and 80s porn.
No, but it's supposed to come out on Blu-ray at some point, but I guess they're calling this kind of a proto slasher or some shit, which to me it's a drama that has a certain amount of, it has a little bit of slashing in it.
I saw one part that, but you said that didn't even really have
do with the main... Well, Ty Shire is coming home. She lives in this apartment building. And then she goes into her apartment, but then someone's behind her and forces her in there. And he's like getting her on top of her, telling her to say, ah, and all this other stuff.
Well, when I saw it, it looked like she was trying to keep him out.
That came out later.
Oh, okay.
But she's he's ripping her clothes off, and I don't think he raped.
Steve said, "Oh boy, this is gonna be real sleazy."
No, I'm sure Taya Shire is in. She wasn't into many sleazy movies that I could think of, but this movie was. I mean, it was okay, but it was definitely a drama. And if you read the synopsis or scene, whatever it is, that you kind of figure out what's going on.
Synopsis.
That. And then she's been attacked. She calls the cops, and she kind of falls for the cop on her case, but she can't. And he comes back, and we find out something. You know, but I'm not going to tell anything. But I guess if you're into it, you can watch it, but it's not a big deal. You're not missing nothing. There's no spectacularisms in it. There is some kind of like Hitchcock stuff going on because she's moved to this kind of high rise and then somebody's watching her through her windows until she put up drapes.
That's why you should always put up drapes.
Yeah. Okay.
So,
and
then you watch this boring piece of shit.
No, I didn't. Dana got me the Blu-ray of the double feature of Blood Mania and Point of Terror. And we watched Blood Mania. And it was full of groovy 70s tunes of accordions and all kinds of music. And it was far out. They had like a pillow fight thing.
At a Renaissance
fair. Yeah, they had mimes and shit. This woman, who has a sick dad, and she gets tired of fooling with him and wants his money, and gets a doctor, and she basically shoots him full of, or something with anal nitrate, was it?
I think that's not anal nitrate,
nitrate.
Something nitrate.
Well, anyway. They gave him some.
It can basically give you a heart attack.
They gave him some night train to terror, and it killed him. And it's, you know, but there is a little blood in it. But
what they tell him, everybody's got something to do. Everybody except you.
Yes.
Okay.
And there's nudity, and there's helmet hair.
And there's this chick that looks old and pruny in the face, and then she's got a hot young body. It makes no sense.
Yeah. But.
And a blonde with tammy wynette hair.
Right. And both these movies star the same dude.
Peter Carpenter.
And he has some really cool sideburns.
Does he?
Yeah. And cool shirts.
Yeah, Steve liked that one shirt.
Yeah. But anyway, I did watch a Santo movie today off of Arcelor. Santo in the Wax Museum.
While I was working.
And you didn't have to pay attention. Because one thing with a Santo movie is a good 20 minutes is wrestling. And
I know that. Because I watched.
So they have like 3 or 4 wrestling matches. And
you get a wrestling match in a movie all in one.
And in the old black and white ones, it's the same wrestling crowd throughout. On every movie, because
they couldn't afford to get in the crowd.
Well, they just shot it, and they just keep using that same shot of just the crowd only. So, yeah, I mean, that kind of wrestling back then just looked like garbage to me compared to now, because it's just like hold, throw, hold, drop. You know, it's just horrible. But anyway, it was it was kind of cool looking as far as like the monsters and stuff like that. They actually took a freeze frame of Gary Cooper from a Western and said that was a wax museum dummy.
Oh, that's hilarious.
I mean, I swear to God, if it wasn't, it was a very good wax figure. There's just no way. But anyway, so we're getting ready to watch this movie that Dana wanted to watch again.
Don't Go in the House, which I got on Blu-ray, and it has extended scenes in it.
Yeah, so we can be extended.
With the great Dane Grimaldi.
I've done seen this movie so many times, I don't need to see it.
I don't
it.
Know where Steve gets the idea that he saw this movie a bunch of times.
Where does he get the gall?
Well, whatever. But yeah,
Dana called me a narcissist.
I did not.
You did. And I have a nice guy act that I'm not fooling anybody anymore. So anyway. Alright, we're going to watch Don't Go In The House. Don't Go In Your House With Your Mom.
What?
That's the name. So, play this movie.
Alright, I'm playing it.
Alright.
Bye.
Coming soon.
We have to. We have to.
Testa di cazzo.
You say a dickhead.
What?
Alright, we're...
Keep left on neutral bypass.
We will. We watched something last night, Dana. It was, I watched two movies. They were both, well...
They were...
One and a half movies. Some Spanish.
Continue 2.2 miles.
Yeah, all right. That's
what I'm talking about.
The one that you watched that was so... Gosh, it had that annoying. It was dubbed, and it had that.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. It's like atrocious or something. I don't know what the. I don't even know.
The title's better than the movie.
The dubbing featured this one chick, and like she, it's like she's doing her nails and then talking like, yeah, okay, you know.
Yeah, and it sounds like she's talking through her nose. Too.
Like no effect. So. And then I watched.
Nobody had any expressions except the mother, I think.
Then I watched, I watched mostly is that from something called The Jigsaw Murders with Chad Everett, and then,
that was pretty bad, too.
Yeah, it was,
it's like, what's her face, what was her name?
The girl?
Yeah.
Michelle, I can't remember, she was in Blame It on Rio.
She got naked?
Yeah.
Or Steve said she.
I don't know about total, but I can't remember. But
she got
Thomas. T-O-P-L-E-S-S. But, yeah, this was Chad Everett and his partner, and there's this killer who's going around chopping up girls' body parts, and then...
And you have a bachelor party interspersed in there, and the couple's honeymoon gets invaded by Chad Everett.
The girl, it turns out, was on a jigsaw. I guess that's the name of the movie was called. And the girl... Even though it didn't look like it on the jigsaw, was Michelle Bauer. She was and she's gorgeous in this movie.
And they got a guy with a very bad rug on.
Yeah, and they it's almost like they make comic things to it. I mean, because they do, they allude to that, and there's some other, every time they go to this one place, I got a card there. I don't know where, but anyway, they go to this photographer's studio or apartment. So these two same guys try to rip off the car and it's like three times they do it and three times they get away. But anyway, it was, and this went on Blu-ray. I don't know who put it out, but
Steve was like, "Why did they put this?"
Why? Because this is just like a nonsense movie. It really,
yeah.
It is like you have you go to somewhere and you have a. You have a breadstick, and then you leave. That's what this is. It's nothing.
I didn't think about
it. I mean, it's not a full movie to me, because it doesn't... It's not sleazy enough to be good on that point.
And it wasn't really horrific enough.
No, there's no... I mean, there's some violence, but nothing enough to mount anything. So it's more like a TV movie with little tits and cussing
like
it.
A Lifetime movie with
Yeah, so it's bad. And then, speaking of bad... This one movie I heard about, or somebody, it's that stupid people we listen to that was putting out this top 10 or 20 of the year.
Well, not that. We learned to stop listening.
Talking about this movie called The Triangle. So
I didn't watch that.
It's on Amazon Prime, no, it wasn't. I'm sorry.
They say it was nice?
Nice. But anyway, it wasn't on Prime. I had to get it through other means. But I watched it, And, you know, it's not terrible. They get a letter asking, one of their old friends is asking them to come to this place where he lives in a commune or something, a community. And so all these guys get together and they're, you know, I guess they're cameramen and they put on, you know, they're going to make a documentary about these people. So they go there and you don't know what the deal is with these people. You know, I'm waiting for the shoe to drop because that's what usually happens. Well, I mean, I don't know if I should spoil the movie or not, but let me just tell you what happens at the end. Nothing. So, stuff happens, you know, and it's a little bit different than what you would expect. But.
Until they coughed out, then.
But the ending has no resolution to me. So, it's just like, that. They think that's fucking artsy, some ways. I've seen a lot of movies do that. It's just like, no, it's you're ripping off people.
It depends on how you do it.
You rip my time off. And my time is valuable. I don't have to
watch shitty movies. Did it have any shock value or anything?
I don't know.
Okay.
I wasn't shocked.
Okay.
But I was shocked at that. God, are you shitting me?
Yeah, that's the way Steve sat there. But I didn't watch it, which is why I wasn't saying much.
And I watched the movie today, Savage Dawn, which is called something else.
Wow, this had everybody in it.
Well, I thought it was that movie with Patrick Swayze, but then that's Steel Dawn.
Oh.
But this movie had William Forsythe, Richard Lynch, George Kennedy, and Lance Hendrickson.
Plus Karen Black was in it.
Karen Black, and then a special guest, like a really good cameo that you would not know who it is unless you recognize the head and the voice. Mm-hmm. Sam Kinison as a barber.
Yeah, that was crazy.
So, it's a biker kind of movie. Forsythe's a biker group, and then somehow they go to this bar, and Lance Hendrickson is visiting George Kennedy. I guess they were in Vietnam together. I have no freaking clue. But
maybe Korea or something.
Nah, maybe, but I don't know. But anyway, there was they have these fights out in the back, and then there's this one dude who looks like, you know, he's been on a lot of biker movies. He looks like somebody from Hee Haw with a beard. But anyway, he was fighting, and they pissed somebody off and said he cheated, so they wouldn't give him the money. So now these bikers are going to fucking go ballistic on people.
Yeah, and they got one annoying guy that's with the bikers.
But yeah, I mean, it's not a great movie, but it, you know, just because of the cast and. I mean, Forsythe, this is like 1985, so that's pretty young Forsythe messing around with Karen Black for some reason. She does say the line, "I could suck star to Harley," so, I mean.
I didn't hear that.
Yeah. When she said that, he goes, "Get on," because she wanted to go with him.
Oh.
But plus, she had a bottle of tequila, so he took a swig of that and threw it on the ground, of course, because you don't want to.
You don't want to get to
You don't want to drink and drive. You just want to get drunk before you go. But
you don't want to get to the water.
No. But that's pretty much it. Now we're on the way to one of the most haunted places in the country, I think. It's Waverly Hills Sanatorium. It was a
TB hospital.
Tuberculosis place. And thousands upon thousands of people die there. They had to. It was so many people dying there that they had to build a freaking like a chute. It's
called a body chute or death tunnel.
To put the bodies in.
Well, they had to carry them out.
Yeah.
So the sick patients wouldn't see it.
Right.
But we're gonna learn. We're hopefully gonna learn some more stuff about the nurses in room 502.
Time to learn something. Uh oh, we're getting up here next to Tokyo Hillbilly.
Tokyo.
In Gishun? Gishai?
No. Oh, I thought it said sushi for a second.
Well, anyway, I don't know why he's got that on the Jeep, but whatever.
And he's got Gishi on his license plate, too.
Yeah, but anyway, so we're going to go and
mess
around.
We'll get some good pictures of some shadow people and some orbs. And Steve's going to get the shit scared out of him.
7 miles. Keep left towards Grenada Drive.
Right.
But we'll hopefully have some stories to tell after we go there.
Right. So, we're done. Out.
Bye.
He won the Medal of Honor in Vietnam. He was busted from the San Diego police force. And the girl he loved was killed by the Pacific Ocean. In the last day and a half, he's creamed a motorcycle cop in Colorado. Wiped out a Jaguar XKE in Utah. And kept a rendezvous with two bulldozers in Cisco, California. His name is Kowalski, and he lives with speed. To get himself up, to get himself gone. Barry Newman is Kowalski in Vanishing Point. In his supercharged Challenger, he ran through every roadblock, speed trap, and dragnet the cops of four states could come up with. It took him 26 hours to become a legend, a hero, the super driver of the Golden West. Barry Newman, Dean Jagger, Cleavon Little. Vanishing Point. In color from 20th Century Fox. Rated GP. All ages. Parental guidance.
Dana Lynn.
Stephen Lee.
We checked out, much to Dana's chagrin, the newly released movie called The Void. Which,
hey, I'll say it wasn't so bad.
Well.
And it had Art Handel in it. That's more
like. It's an interesting movie. It borrows a lot from other movies, but
from John Carpenter movies and Fulci movies.
It's made by a few of the members of Astron 6 or something that made Father's Day. And
well, my gosh, this was tons better movie.
Well, those movies are a little bit goofy. I mean, on purpose. So, but. Definitely, this one's 100% serious.
Father's Day was like a...
Well, it was just
a trauma movie or something.
Yeah, I mean, their movies
a
definitely...
movie on acid.
Yeah, they were... Had a little bit of a trauma feel, but... These movies were pretty good.
Yeah, actually, you know, I like very few... new movies that have come out, and I guess you'd call this the horror.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. I mean, I guess, I don't know, the music and then the atmosphere. And
it was just kind of bizarre, too.
Yeah, and it's pretty much all it can take is practical effects.
Oh, yeah, that was great, too. We didn't see any CG in it.
So, yeah, it was pretty good on that front.
So, if you want to watch some kind of old school that borrows heavily from, like, Carpenter films and Fulci films, I thought there was, like, a Thing feel to it. And well, Steve said Prince of Darkness.
They had all kinds of stuff, I mean, but, yeah. And then I think the very end echoes back to the Beyond at the end of the Beyond.
Yeah, I thought so, too.
So, I mean,
won't give too much away.
Well, I mean, yeah, if you've seen it. But, I mean, anyway, either way, you should check it out. It played at several theaters. I think the nearest one, it was like Noblesville, Indiana, but it's on VOD and all those other
locations
on the web. Watch the a movie called Life inside the theaters. And it's kind of like a little bit of Alien in a space station. They get this micro back from Mars, and so they try to bring it back to life for some reason, and it comes back to life, and then it doesn't.
Ask these people, play. Hey, have you not seen Alien? You know what happens?
It doesn't play well with others.
Yeah.
I don't know if I could say I would recommend it, but it wasn't bad, and it's not like. You know,
I don't know why I thought that this movie
more
was just like a drama or something.
What drama?
Perhaps because of the title, Life.
Yeah, well, there's been several different things called Life.
I figured it out pretty quickly because I was in here watching TV and that movie got real loud real quickly. And I was like, it's not a drama.
Yeah, dramas at midnight would put me straight to sleep.
That's what you needed.
Well, another movie that I fell asleep on, but I watched the ending of, is called The Weirdo from 1989, and it's it's pretty much weird.
Yeah, and I'll be honest, it doesn't kick into high gear until the last, 15-20 minutes. It's sort of like a melodrama for a while. This guy doesn't have any friends, and he meets this girl with a lamp or whatever, and they become friends, and it's...
You want to be my friend?
I mean, it's kind of like a after-school special or something until stuff really kicks in the last few minutes.
You want to be my friend?
And then it's not anything they would show on TV. But it almost was like they cut things out of it. I don't know. It flashed to black a few times.
Oh, well.
So I don't know what that was.
That could have been anything. But, oops.
And there are also some funny parts, too. Or I found them.
Goofy parts, definitely.
Yeah, goofy. But what do you think of it, Steve?
I don't even want to know. I don't even know. I mean, it's just a goofy, it's a very weird.
And Steve said because it was a VHS rip, it looked. I mean, I realize now 89 is a long time ago, but it just looked old.
I mean, 89 is 28 years ago, so it's definitely not.
Well, I mean, like Offerings was made around that time period, and it doesn't look as old as this movie does. This movie looks like...
It could have been released in 89 and made earlier, but maybe. I don't know.
It almost reminded me, the quality of it reminded me of like Bad Ronald and those movies.
Well, that's a TV movie.
Well, I know. That's what it... Other than the content...
Content.
The quality reminded me of a made-for-TV movie like Bad Ronald.
Content.
Yeah.
Watched... Got kind of on, came home and was watching Inner Rossiter, and they were showing the Nemesis movies.
Oh, God.
So I watched Nemesis 2 all the way. And
tell everybody who's in these movies.
Female bodybuilder named Sue Price, which to me she looked really, really hot.
Well, that's Steve's opinion. And, I've seen other guys say she looks like a man. I thought she looked like a man too, especially from the back.
But, yeah, she's hot. And then,
Nemesis 4, she's almost naked all the time. And kills guys with her big old legs.
It's nice. Lord, what a way to go.
And walks around and somebody said a Marilyn Monroe type dress.
Yeah.
And that just does not look good on her body.
Yeah. But anyway, it's funny because I watched those and rented them back in the day.
You actually paid money to rent those.
Well, they were, I think I seen some on HBO.
Did you ever get them from Wild and Woolly?
No.
Oh.
But they're out on Blu-ray, to be honest with you. That's what they were showing, Blu-ray rips of on the Inner Rossiter on Vaughn Live. Right. But
that means somebody bought them.
But somebody, or at least one. But I was going through my Twitter, which I hadn't seen in a while, because I don't
saw some funny things on there.
Somebody asked us to do a couple commentaries, which.
Oh, really? They ask us on our Twitter?
On my Twitter.
Well, your Twitter, whatever.
But, Dana gets to choose a movie, so I kind of suggested we do I Spit on Your Grave, so we're going
to
do...
I'm very surprised. Is that one somebody asked us to do?
Yeah, like last year, but...
What was the other one they asked?
Oh, like Return of Swamp Thing or something? I don't want to do that. That's something I don't need to see again for a while.
And I'm not in any way, shape, or form saying that gang rape is funny. It's not.
No. It's not fun or funny.
No. But I think we could talk about this movie more than we could Return of Swamp Thing.
Right. So we're going to get ready to see Sarah Butler.
No, we're not.
And
what?
No.
No, we're not.
Camille Keaton.
The great Camille Keaton.
Which I got to meet her and I got it.
I got to meet her.
I know, you got something signed. I got Tragic Ceremony signed.
I got
Which made me ultimately cooler in her eyes.
She liked it because I had a mini poster for I Spit on Your Grave, and nobody else had brought that up to her to have it signed.
Yeah.
Even the person with her was talking about it.
Right. All right. So we're going to do that and probably try some more stuff. A couple more movies this weekend. We're going to probably have a shorter show this time because next time we're going to be doing the 10th anniversary of Grindhouse.
Did I talk about our trip to Waverly?
No, but we'll talk about that on the next segment.
Oh.
Because now I just want to watch this movie and get it over with.
Get it over with? That's not very nice.
It's not nice.
And Steve's not a nice person.
No.
Okay. We'll talk about the trip to Waverly.
Yes, we had went on a ghost hunting frenzy.
And now Dana's got a ghost hunting kit.
Dana wasted $100 on a little suitcase with flashlights.
It's not flashlights.
And a little recorder.
It's an EP and EMF meter.
KLF.
Whatever.
Bye. For now.
Charlton Heston is the Omega Man. The Omega Man. More than fantasy, maybe the future. Rated GP.
And did a commentary for I Spit on Your Grave, so.
But Steve's got to get it off his phone before I can put it together.
But, so it's something. I hadn't watched this one in a while. Excuse me. And if you hadn't seen this Blu-ray yet, you should definitely get it. The transfer is pretty darn impressive. Colors are pretty bright, and I mean everything looks really, really good. I know they carried over the Joe Bob commentary. I'm pretty sure, right?
Yeah.
From the Elite, which I have,
and I think the Mayor's Archie commentary's on there too.
Oh boy! But yeah, that's an interesting movie. Saw a few things as I usually do. That I hadn't noticed before. And, of course, I can't remember what those were at the moment.
I can't either. I was trying to remember. Our dogs are in here with us right now.
I don't know. Remember that weird-ass car she was driving had big bumper things in the back.
Was it something about the carpet?
Well, I mean, the carpet was fucking red with black dots or something, or spots, so it was weird. And then the house looked weird inside. In the kitchen, it had like these
red beams or
well,
something.
Well, it didn't even look like a complete beam. It looked like this, like a shroud.
Steve was like, what is that?
What, they stopped remodeling or, I don't know. But, still is a, packs a punch. And I was just thinking a little bit about this movie, and a lot of movies were kind of like, you know, really outrageous during the 70s, and then that was over with in the 80s.
Yeah, they had a ton of like rape revenge movies, and then they kind of just.
I mean, there was still some, but nothing that pushed the limit like this. And then I guess maybe the slasher had come up, and then that was kind of mainly what was going on, and.
Because I believe you have approximately 20 minutes of setup, and then about 20...
I thought we were friends.
24 minutes of brutal gang rape, in my opinion, and then the last half of the movie is her getting revenge on the guys that raped her. So, and a lot of people say, well, you know, I don't know where this comes from or what mindset the person has that says if a guy watches rape, then he's going to be automatically turned on to rape. That's going to make him want to go out and rape women, because movies like that make it look glamorous and fun. And I don't...
Well, that I think there was a crackdown in this, and Toolbox Murders were, like I said, was on 60 Minutes.
Well, they said those were misogynistic movies.
And they were... And that was kind of... I think they were, at that point... Even though both of those movies are independent, I don't know why they would have... why they made a big deal out of it. It's probably because... I guess maybe they wouldn't give them ratings, but... And, of course, if you don't get a rating, you're going to not get into certain theaters, but... I don't know, but this...
Well, you can't, and you can't, they can't advertise your movie in the regular newspapers, yeah. I don't think, and on TV. And
but stuff. There was a lot of movie, like I said, well, my just train of thought was that there was, near the end of the 70s was over, it was kind of like, that was like the Wild West, and then they...
Then the slasher stuff.
Slasher started, and then that was a big thing, but, you know, there was some movies in the 80s that were pretty exploitative, like, you know, the women in prison movies still had a leg to go. They were still had some legs.
yeah.
So, but I mean.
Literally.
Just only a couple of them were that very good, like Chained Heat and Concrete Jungle, I think was the, but I mean, there was some, but it just kind of got neutered as it went on, and definitely now. I mean, it's definitely a neutered thing going on.
Well, I don't...
Because there's so many independent movies, you can't watch them all.
Why would they neuter that stuff when they had... There for a while, they had that stuff people called torture porn and...
Well, I mean, I guess that's where the ball falls in the pigeonhole, is that, no, torture porn... But that's been over with for 10 years.
Yeah, but I thought that stuff was stupid.
Well, I mean, I didn't watch all of that. I mean, there's only a couple good ones, if you want to call them that. But, I mean, I think Martyrs was, you know, made in France, which...
but I don't call that torture
porn. Well, it's pretty... I mean, it is... I like to call them ordeal movies, and there's actually one of them called Ordeal. But, I mean, a lot like, you know... We all thought that all these movies coming out of France in like the, you know, 2008 to 2010 or 12, that was going to be like the next start.
I thought that was going to be the next big thing, because...
Well, I mean, there was definitely some that came out that were really, really good, so... and then those were more brutal than anything. Probably more brutal than... Like I was saying, there's one, I think it's called Ordeal in French. I don't know, this guy, I don't know, somehow
I think
he gets...
I watched that one.
He gets, somehow he gets kidnapped by this guy and he makes him dress up like a woman. And I can't remember if he rapes him or not, but anyway, it's pretty brutal.
I don't know about that one.
It's pretty, yeah, it's pretty bad. It's pretty crazy.
But then, you know, you had... The stuff that's torture porn, I think, has a lot of, gratuitous, like, sex in there. Almost like...
Well...
Almost like a porn movie, and then you got violence thrown in there. Like, just... To me, it's just stupid. It's... You got... You don't have anybody stalking anybody or anything like that. It's just like, they end up in another country, and, like people are like pulling your eyes out and
well, I mean,
you know, doing all kinds of shit.
The Emmanuel movies, the black Emmanuel movies, and even the ones with the Sylvia Christie was all sex.
So. Well, and I mean, like Mark of the Devil, where they were pulling the chick's tongue out and they were doing all this stuff because they were torturing them because they said they were witches. But I can't remember if that movie had a lot of sex in it.
I think it was more I mean, I don't think it had, like, full-on sex. But, I mean, I don't even know if it had nudity in it. But it was, that's one of the ways you can, oh, God.
A dog's coming up here.
He don't like this.
Brandon wants to tell you about it.
He don't like that. He don't like that kind of talk.
He don't like movies like that either.
I don't like movies like that.
He's got to tell everyone.
Oh, shit. Well, you get your paw on my heart, boy.
He says that's shameful what you're talking about.
But anyway, there's a lot of cool movies. And that was from the 70s, the Emmanuel movies, and they kept on going for a while, but none of them was worth a shit after a certain point, especially without Laura Gimser.
No, of course not, Steve.
But next weekend, we're going to do the celebration of the 10th anniversary of Grindhouse.
Which I think is actually this weekend.
Yeah, we're late, but it's even going to be later when we post this video, or post this show. But
so when am I going to talk about our trip?
Our trip.
Our paranormal trip.
Go for it. Here's Dana Lynn special report.
The special report. I wish we could have done a special report from Waverly Hills, but you weren't able to record any audio at the place. So we did go to Waverly Hills, and Steve said it was a complete waste of time walking through an old building, and he was not impressed. But I did get a pretty awesome picture. Wouldn't you agree, Steve?
I guess so. I'm not sure what it is, but...
Well, it sure as heck ain't anybody in our tour group.
Well, I wish they would have took pictures of everybody in the tour group so you could compare.
Well, when the woman clearly doesn't have a hairstyle from this time period, no clothing from this time period.
You got you don't even have, you got her face and her hair, but you don't have nothing.
Steve, even my mom said that woman's hair was parted differently.
Oh, God. Oh, my God. Ladies don't part their hair like that no more.
Fine.
You can tell that from that grainy ass picture.
Be an unbeliever, Steve.
All right.
I'm going to be like Isaac on Turn of the Corner, the unbelievers.
Yep.
So, and you know what happens to unbelievers? Bad things. Outlander. Outlander, we have your woman.
Yeah, we have your bigger dog.
But anyway, I was fascinated with the picture I got, and some people believe that it's a ghost, some people don't. I tried contacting Waverly Hills, and nobody's got back with me
yet. It's radio silence there, and that leads me to believe that something's up.
Huh?
Nothing. I'm just saying stuff.
I don't know what Steve was talking about. And a friend of mine tried to...
Oh, my. A friend of yours?
David Caudill.
Tried what?
He tagged that Tina Manley, who's a co-owner of Waverly Hills.
Oh, my.
In my picture and asked her to take a look at it, but evidently, I don't know, either the tag didn't work or she's got to approve things she's tagged in, or I don't know.
She doesn't care.
Maybe she's too busy.
Maybe, gummy baby.
But
gummy babies.
I recommend if you've never been and you make it to Louisville, you definitely need to go if you're even the least little bit interested and paranormal type of stuff, ghosts and things. I wouldn't recommend, unless you're just wanting to go to a haunted house, I wouldn't recommend going when they have the haunted house. If you're wanting to do an investigation or you're just wanting to go on a tour and hope that you might see something, I would say go during the regular season, which runs from like March to August. And then they start gearing up for the haunted house stuff. So I'm planning on going on a 6-hour investigative thing where you can bring camcorders and you can bring your EVP recorders and do all this stuff. And they let you investigate more of the building, you know, for longer amounts of time than what we got to do on a 2-hour tour. But
yeah, 2 hours.
Anyway, I highly recommend it. Steve doesn't, but I do. And definitely get yourself a t-shirt in the gift shop.
Get you an overpriced t-shirt.
A what?
Overpriced t-shirt.
No, it wasn't. They were $15.
Well, it was overpriced.
And I'm assuming all the proceeds go to
keeping the building from being completely condemned.
Sure.
But anyway, here's back to Steve.
Thanks for that report.
Yeah, Dana. You're welcome.
So that's it for this time. I'll talk about get that Blu-ray drive-in Delirium from Umbrella Entertainment.
Yeah, Steve just got that in.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's it's reasonably priced over at Diabolik DVD, and it is from Australia, but it's region free, and it has like, I don't know.
Which means you won't have to have
But it's 6 hours of trailers, and a lot of them are in HD. And they look pretty good. You start off with, it's like 60s, 70s trailers. And they do have another Blu-ray trailer set of just 80s. But I just decided this seemed a little bit better because I don't really want to see. I mean, this one had more of a variety of, raunchy or just really exploitative movies. That was like 144 or so. But 6 hours of trailers is pretty good compared to the other sets that they came out with.
And didn't you get a good price on this?
Well, I mean, it was $25, but or maybe a little less.
Because Steve was telling me those other...
Oh, yeah, the DVD sets from that I got from... Australia were like $40-some a piece.
But Steve was really excited when he got those too, I remember.
Well, they're 12 hours on DVD. I got 24 hours of trailers in there. And then they have extra sections for like TV spots. And then they have them broken up between like monster movies or haunted house movies. I mean, it's pretty cool. I mean, I'll bring them to Wasteland one time and watch some, so... but yeah, I think it's a pretty cool.
Was it when I went?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's pretty good set. So if you like trailers, that's definitely something to check out. But I'll probably give a little bit more. I didn't only watch like a little bit of them.
Steve was putting together a shelf for me.
Yeah. So that's it. We'll be back for the Grindhouse retrospective and.
But we'll have that commentary up at some point.
Yeah, it'll be on the Roku channel. But we'll be watching a ton of extra movies with the Grindhouse themes.
Well, Steve will probably watch more than me because I have to work Saturday.
But peace out.
Bye.
Now. We have to. We have to.